can assure you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help.
Welcome to Community In Depth. My name is Kelly Casey, and this is KDWA Radio. We're talking about being helpful, and we are talking especially about a part of our population that may need a little extra help in housing and finding a place so that they are not homeless, or I should say housing challenged, because not everyone considers themselves homeless in a permanent situation. It may be a transitory situation, and so we're going to be talking about housing and homelessness, and some of the people that are conversing on this subject with me today is First District County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And Chief of Police for the City of Hastings, Brian Schaefer.
Thank you.
And also the Deputy Director of Dakota County Social Services, Madeline Kassler.
Thank you.
And on the phone, we are happy to have Amber Hansen, and she is the she's with Ally Services, which is a very important component to this. Amber, we're going to start with you first. Tell us a little bit about how Ally plays into helping the local homeless situation.
So in Dakota County, Ally provides a lot of the homeless street outreach services, which means we're out in the community reaching those that are unsheltered and couch and or couch hopping for shelter and connecting them with services, including services that fit their housing, long-term housing needs.
And it's not always a cookie-cutter approach. We have veterans that are homeless. We have people even who are employed who are homeless, we've learned. And so it's a wide-ranging factor. And we also have families who are homeless.
We do. And, yeah, we have all of those. So if we meet families, we connect them with different services. And Dakota County has wonderful veteran services as well for the homeless. So we would connect those people to the Dakota County Veteran Homeless Services. So that's a huge role that we play, is kind of getting out there and making sure people are connected to what's available.
Okay, and that's really important, once again, because the connections and the trust factor is something that takes a while to build, doesn't it?
Yes, that's huge, and that's probably one of our biggest jobs, is getting the folks we meet to trust us, trust that we have their goals and their best interests at heart.
Okay, so the other people here in our studio today are part of that trust factor. Chief Schaefer, I'm going to ask you to, especially with a homeless population, do some people feel that some of the services that they've already been providing or that we already have very readily here in, especially in Hastings, are not being utilized, or is it just a misperception?
Well, I think we go back to the trust factor and building the relationships. You know, this new practice or this best practice is fairly new in with these partnerships. So I think as we've looked back in some of the data, that some of the same people that we've been attempting to provide service for over the last number of years, we may not have done a very good job because we lacked all of those other pieces. And I think what happens, some of those folks distrust the system. They go, okay, I'm going to go in, and they gave me this phone number. I got a hold of this person, and it didn't get me anywhere. Or maybe they didn't follow up as they were supposed to, the individual. And so they keep getting thrust into the same black hole. We see that in a lot of other systems, and until we start bringing services and collaboration. So that's why it is important now with a lot of these individuals that in Amber's work, going out there on a regular basis, doing street outreach, building the relationships, and we're seeing results.
You know, I have to also address the transportation issue, and I think probably everybody in this conversation, it's just that elephant in the room. There just is not a mass transit. Now, some people look at it in certain ways that, well, we're fine here. We're taking care of what we need here. We don't need that mass transportation, but so many of these services depend on it, don't they, Madeline?
They do, and we found that with
We have one shelter that operates, one shelter for single adults that operates in the winter months, Matrix Shelter, and it rotates throughout cities, throughout Dakota County, and does not make a stop in Hastings. And what we found was that people who were experiencing homelessness in Hastings weren't actively accessing that shelter service because it was really difficult to get to and from. And vice versa, the shelter did not make a stop in Hastings because it was really difficult to have access for all those other other residents, shelter guests, in Hastings. And so transportation is a real issue getting to and from Hastings.
Mike, we've been talking about this for a long time, but is there a component that will help this bridge those gaps?
So that's some of the conversation that is starting to happen is as the county's worked on a broader homelessness and housing assistance program, there maybe needs to be an offshoot of a Hastings answer or a Hastings solution to some of the a Hastings response, I think is what we've gone with, and that's part of that. And we're not really sure. We're in the process now with our community partners and collaborating to see what that may look like, because I don't think we're going to fix necessarily the transportation issue, but there might be parts of that, and a lot of that comes quite frankly to funding. There's quite a distance between Hastings and the other parts of the more developed part of the county, and when you look at the cost to go, and we've done the Eastern Transit study, we've been part of Red Rock Corridor, and the numbers always show that last couple miles to get in and out of Hastings costs so much more money, you could almost hire an Uber to get those individuals who truly need it and get them up to a station, and it would be cheaper. So, you know, when you're looking at a $40 to $50 per rider just to go in and get them to some sort of a transit, that's been the challenge, because most people in the area do not need, they're car dependent and they have a car, but that population that doesn't are seniors, individuals with disabilities, are homeless, are lowest of income. They are still struggling with how to get to and from within the community and outside of the community, and they haven't been able to find a solution that becomes cost effective compared to the rest of the system on that. And for this issue of housing issues, that's why we've really started the conversation. Just about a month ago, we went and met with a group of community partners saying, how do we go and address maybe a response that addresses some of the issues of those experiencing homelessness within the Hastings area, especially in those winter months?
Amber, I'm going to come back to you. You know, we've talked about a lot of different types of populations that seem to be predominantly affected in this homeless issue, but we haven't talked about teens. What have you seen?
For teens or young adults, in homelessness in Hastings, we don't see it as much in the street homeless population. I'd say a lot of our young adults are couch hopping, and they're actually harder to find and reach. Yeah. Without the support of the community helping to connect them, because they don't know how to connect themselves or don't know how to reach out. So it's really important that the community know how to reach out for services for someone.
There's a lot of components, and I know people are, and I don't want to leave out anyone, but I think probably the two main ones that come immediately to mind are Hastings Family Service and United Way of Hastings, both which have expressed a great history in helping people who are in need with a lot of different issues. But I think there's probably a misconception there, or there may be, correct me if I'm wrong, that services can only go so far. The person that is receiving the services have to walk forward a little bit. And is that where maybe the gap comes in some of those services being like right there? And people say, well, we have a really robust service. Why aren't these people being helped?
I think the question is more, how can that service better adjust the way it provides services so that people engage? Like the chief was saying, prior to having a more robust street outreach system, we required people experiencing homelessness to call the county and to come to us. And we were finding that, you know, people, if they get the voicemail and don't have a way to call back and are required to come into our offices, they're not going to engage. And so we did some reflection on how are we providing services in the best way for people. And so I think that's actually the question we need to ask. It's not about that person needs to do X, Y, and Z to access services. We need to ask ourselves how we provide those services in a way that they'll be received better. So having Ally Street Outreach Services is a great example. They go to people, they go to camps, they're dressed in a way that's approachable, they're trained in ways to be more approachable, and they're developing the relationship. It's not just transactional.
Okay.
And a couple of examples locally of that we have, that we've partnered with in the Hastings community. The chief said that we have a staff person within the police department with some of our mental health issues. We have financial workers that are officed out of Hastings Family Service. So individuals that would be using county services in the past would have to figure out a way to get to West St. Paul and go to the Northern Service Center. And now they can stay in the community. It addresses some of our transportation issues and the isolationness that we run with the county. So these are just some examples that we've been able to do that add a little more of a local Hastings response to some of these issues.
And I think, Chief, if you're looking at some of the interactions that you have had, both in a neutral and then possibly even in a negative way, you also had a very incredible event that actually saved a person's life who was in a crisis situation. What do we do? What does the general population do, though, to keep it from being crisis? Is there something more?
I wish that, and that's the answer we're all trying to solve and trying to get at the answer. It's a multi-pronged approach. There are some folks that we may, because of the mental health issues that we've talked about, may be on the edge of crisis all the time. And we've done, as you said, I think when I looked at our numbers, we gave out about 8 life-saving awards last year, and we've got double that since May, where we've encountered these are crisis situations. And I think that when we talk about everybody getting on the same page and doing a better job, Madeline had referenced, Amber has referenced, it's hard to figure out who's, when we talk about the couch hoppers, how to identify those. And one thing that Dakota law enforcement has done now, we've changed one of our reporting systems in our cars so that officers can now document homelessness. So we may go to a call that has nothing to do with homelessness, but we determine through our investigation that we can check the box, or if it's a mental health issue, they can check the box, and we can pull that data, and we're using the same definition of homelessness and crisis the same across the entire county. So now we're all talking the same language. We can assess these issues and do follow-up and try and make an impact.
And I think probably it should be said that homelessness in and of itself, it's not a crime. It's not something that, when you say law enforcement is getting involved, homelessness by itself is not a crime, but it certainly can lead to lack of safety on both their parts and just situations that don't present itself when you have a home. But I've looked at the apartment housing. I mean, just if you go out there, if you're working 40 hours a week and you have, no children, if you're just looking for an apartment, it's amazing what the rates are. Mm-hmm. And you add some challenges to that.
Yeah.
How do you overcome?
Exactly. I think we often say homeless people, but they're people who are temporarily experiencing mm-hmm. a housing crisis. They're temporarily experiencing homelessness. And I think that's really important, because when we start to identify people by their housing status alone, then we really miss the big picture. We miss all of the other elements that make that person mm-hmm. a person, and our neighbor and our community mm-hmm. member. Mm-hmm. And understanding and humanizing that person, so we understand that living without a home and living outside does lead to things on your criminal record, because you don't have a place to be. You don't have a place to be inside. It also leads to other service issues. And I think just being able to humanize the people that we encounter every day is really, really important, and the people that we work with every day, and recognizing that these folks that we're talking about and we're connecting with are very, very much a part of our community, and there's lots of different pieces to the puzzle that need to come together to support all of us in our communities, access to housing, access to services, and partnerships with folks like the folks in the police department to make sure that we're supporting people in the best way possible.
Before we go, Amber, I just wanted to thank you for being with us, number one. And can you leave us with a little bit of a positive statement of some of the things that you have seen that that really are working in the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, too. Well, the collaboration with everybody you have in the room there, I think, has been a tremendous key to everybody that I serve. The county... the politicians that have gotten involved, and definitely the Hastings Police Department. I couldn't have asked for better partners in those that we go out and serve every single day. It's an amazing partnership, and I really hope that, you know, the partnership just continues to grow, because we're getting to serve more people, and more people are actually coming out of homelessness, so I couldn't ask for more.
Well, thank you so much for your input. Mike, we're going to leave with something from you. What's the future of this? Where do we go next?
Well, I think I will get to that point. One thing that I think we forgot to mention in here is the fact is we've talked about those individuals experiencing homelessness. It's not the perception is often they're coming from Minneapolis or St. Paul, but these are Dakota County residents, most of them. They are they're our family members. They're maybe formerly been our neighbor. So I think it's important to know that these individuals that are experiencing homelessness are from here. So it's they are part of our community, and they were before, and they we hope to continue to have them on there. So I would say where the future goes on here, there's some steps on a policy level that we're continuing to work on best practices, but I think that some of the next steps are some of that community conversation that goes this so that we know what we're doing. I think this is telling the story of some of the successes that we've seen, but also what still needs to be done. I think being able to share that if you know somebody who is experiencing homelessness, to let them know that top of mind of that crisis number, to be able to go in, as Amber had said earlier, how do we get those individuals who are youth that are couch hopping, that don't quite have the connections of services? So I think there's more to be done, but we have had some successes in the last year and a half as well.
It's good to know, and thank you so much. Madeline, can you give that number once again?
Yeah, the housing crisis line number is 651-554-5751.
Well, I thank you all, and Chief Schaefer, thank you for what you do on a continual basis. Also, all your officers who take it upon themselves to make sure that that they're serving everyone. They are serving people at where they are, and if it comes to a crisis, you're trained to know how to deal with those. So thank you for what you do.
We appreciate that.
All right. You've been listening to Community In Depth, and if you have more questions, please connect with us, and we'd be happy to connect with you. I'm Kelly Casey, and you're listening to KDWA.